All right, well, let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians 14 as we close this weekend out. And I wanted to take a look at prayer in consideration of prayer and what we'd like to do as partly as an outreach, but mostly as to affect an outcome in situations. So when it comes to prayer, we really want to take a look and consider speaking in tongues, praying by the Spirit or praying in the Holy Ghost, because it's a multifaceted or multi-purpose manifestation, and it has several benefits to it. One of the major purposes is in regarding our prayer life. And in 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 14, it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue," or I speak in tongues, I pray in tongues, "my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing in the understanding also." Praying in our understanding is important. We ought to pray and pray, in our case, English or some form of that, recognizes that. But also praying in the Spirit. You know, this is in regard to 1 Corinthians 14, again, is how the manifestations are to be properly used in the church. So, as far as in regard to prayer, we need to have prayer in our understanding, but we certainly can pray in the Spirit. We can pray in tongues while someone's praying in their understanding. We're actually to do both. And I love that idea, because you do have someone that's praying in their understanding and the rest can be praying in the Spirit, and have ourselves, in listening to what's being prayed in English, get a real focus on what we're praying about and reminding us, reminding us of the truth. Because like as we prayed earlier, we were praying for some healing situations, we were commanding those things. You know, we're not, praying in the Spirit is not someone who's sitting out in the audience hoping for the underdog. You know, we are making intercession for us according to the will of God. I used to always say intercession for the saints according to the will of God, but the text reads intercession for us according to the will of God. So I think it's very good to be reminded. And I was thinking, you know, when endeavoring to do something with beloved of God and inviting neighbors and so forth to come and pray with us in, you know, for our community, we can be very direct and very authoritative in our prayer. You know, like praying for, you know, the adversary that we forbid him from, that's the, I don't need it, no, thank you. Praying in the Spirit, I mean praying in English and commanding that the adversary has no right in our community. We forbid him from attacking our community. We command in the name of Jesus Christ that this storm that's supposed to be coming, that it just dismantles. You know, I remember one time seeing a picture, not a picture, a demonstration of a nuclear explosion using ping pong balls, and they had all of these ping pong balls on mouse traps around in the table, and what they were going to do to show how a nuclear explosion happens is an electron from one molecule goes and bombards the electron or protons in another and splits the atom, and then it just causes repercussions all around. And they just took this one ping pong ball and threw it in. The next thing you know, every ping pong balls are flying all over the place. There wasn't one left that was just sitting on there. And it helped me to think what Connie talks about, because in a storm, all you need is one cell to change, and it would disrupt that entire storm. It would eventually break down the entire storm. I used to sell fire extinguishers, Halon fire extinguishers, and Halon gas, what it does in putting out the fire is it changes the molecular makeup of the fire that it's no longer a fire. Yeah, I'd sit on the one side of the room, I'd light my briefcase on fire on the other side of the room, and I just hit it once, like that. And the halon, as soon as it got there, it changed the whole molecular structure of the fire itself and the oxygen and everything, and the fire just disappeared. That's kind of how I see Connie when Connie talks about how a storm can break up. But I don't have to picture it. Someone can just be praying with it that storm loses its power, whatever structure that's in it that's causing it to swirl. God, we command in the name of Jesus Christ, it starts to swirl back the other way and disrupts that entire storm. So people can get imagination, but meanwhile, the rest of us are praying in the Spirit and speaking in tongues, which is intercession for us according to the will of God. Beautiful. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. You see, the purpose of the prayer and its proper usage in the church is in order that we may release spiritual power to affect the outcome. I say affect the outcome, or effect rather, the outcome, rather than affect the outcome, because the effect I want to get is that it breaks down and disappears. So I want it to have I want the outcome, if it just stays the way it is, like with the storm, is going to be destruction. I want to affect the outcome, that there's no destruction. I think it sets in my mind that way, whether it's correct in English or not, But the point is, the purpose of our prayer is so that we are releasing spiritual power to change the outcome. If someone has a disease, we are changing the outcome of that disease. The disease outcome is death. We're changing the outcome, life, through spiritual power, through the release of spiritual power. That's what we're intending to do. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Now, I can describe a demonstration of what I saw concerning a nuclear blast, and that's kind of an idea, but I really don't know that's how the storm breaks up. All I know is that spiritual power is going in, and I'm going to affect the outcome. So, I don't know exactly what to pray in that situation. You know, all I know is that I am commanding in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever spiritual activity is involved, whatever molecular activities are involved, whatever needs to be done for that thing, for that storm's effect to be, the outcome of that effect to be changed, that's what I would like to happen. God knows what it is, and my speaking in tongues will pray for that condition perfectly. Won't miss. It'll do exactly what is necessary. I know what I would like to see. No storm. Whether I'm right about the cellular breakup, I don't know. But the Spirit knows exactly what that storm needs to put the quietus on it through the release of spiritual power. Same thing with physical health. I don't know what the person needs. You know, I know enough to hurt myself on medical situations or hurt somebody else. But the Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Whatever is necessary, that is the spiritual power we are releasing to gain that effect. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Beautiful. The word makes intercession means to interpose or to come in between, cause to intervene for or against something. It is always for us and always against the adversary. Always. But the word intervene means to, the word intercede means to intervene from a dictionary determination, means to intervene for or against something or someone. I know it is for me and it is against the adversary. That's how I come up with that. Let's look at verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be
for us,
who can be against us? So I know when it intercedes, it is always
for
me. That's right. So if it's for and against, I know who the for is. So I could pretty much figure out who the against is. Really something. The intercession, that interposition, is always for us and against our enemies. Ephesians 6, let's go to Ephesians, says, in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. You need it. All of it. You know, we should learn to become adept at every manifestation, or at least to operate. And let me say, operate every manifestation of the gift. There's not, you know, this thing, well, somebody else will take care of the evil spirits. You know, it tells us, it tells you, put on the whole armor of God. That's everything God has in the arsenal, not only with the manifestations, but in our prayer life, in our prayer life in English, in our thought life. Put on the whole armor of God. Arm your minds likewise with the same thoughts as Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor, all of it. Every resource God has available, put it on. I think we kind of limited that to the manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit. That is part of the armor, and it is a major part. But it is also part of the armor to feed my mind thoughts and truths that will repel and stand against the fiery darts of the adversary. It is part of the armor of God for me to arm my mind with the Word of God, that when the adversary wants to tell me negatives concerning myself, I know the truth from God's Word, and I will not stand for it. And it's not just, well, devil, God says I'm righteous. It's more than that. I know I'm righteous, therefore, adversary, you depart now in the name of Jesus Christ. Light and darkness cannot occupy the same place at the same time. I'm here, I'm light, bye. don't put up with it. It's not to wrestle your mind with. The armor is against the enemy. And our enemy, it tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers, mights, dominions, the rulers of the darkness against this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, or wicked spirits from on high. It's not you. Stop arguing with yourself. Mind, stop saying I'm this. Your mind will think what you want it to think unless there's something else in there feeding it thoughts. And if there's something else feeding it thoughts, then you need to tell it. Those thoughts must go. And the source of those thoughts must go. You have no right. I am light. Darkness has to leave. Light and darkness cannot occupy the same place at the same time. Bye. And put on the whole armor of God. Stop wrestling with yourself. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, not even your own. But, you know, we get tricked into it because, oh, my mind. And all you're doing is cursing yourself. You're telling yourself you have a lousy mind when the scriptures tell you you've got the mind of Christ. So why don't you fill it with Christ's words? And anything that opposes Christ's words is an enemy, and it needs to go. And when we turn the lights on in this room, the darkness doesn't start. Okay, you win. when we turn the light on in this room, darkness is gone. It's that fast. Now, don't you think God knows and understands what light is? Do you think he knows and understands what darkness is? Do you realize why he uses those terms? Okay, well, let's do that. It's always against it. There is an evil spirit realm, and God can work amazing things. Gil, I'd like you to come up, and I want you to share with them that record from 1 Samuel 23, because I want you to listen to this and see how God's power avoided a terrible tragedy. So, been waiting for this.
Give you the cliff notes.
Actually, I want you to come right here. Okay. So we got the microphone right in front of you. Okay. So I want to make sure I pick it up on there.
Okay. I'm going to give you the Cliff Notes version of that record. David and his men have been on the lam for a period of time. And Saul is seeking him to kill him. And God is keeping him one step ahead of Saul and his men. But there are a lot of people in the kingdom that are trying to curry Saul's favor to get advancement in his kingdom. So every time David moves, people are telling Saul, he's here, he's there, he's here. And Saul and his men go, and David he's moved a day before. David is constantly ahead. But a situation takes place in one of the cities, Keilah, where the Philistines are attacking the city, and David's like, we have to go and save Keilah. And his men are like, what are you kidding me? David, we got Saul chasing us. We're hiding in caves. We're going to go into a walled city to fight one enemy and have another one come and catch us there? Really? You think this is a good idea? And he seeks God's advice, and God says, yes, this is what we need to do. So David goes in, delivers the city. Saul finds out, comes with his men. David asks God, will the people of Keilah give me up? Surely they won't. I just came and delivered them. Surely they won't. And God says, they will. They'll give you up. So we got to move. And now we've lost ground because Saul's already in his way. And at this point, they get to the place where David and his men are surrounded by Saul and his armies. And David is clear through the record, he is not going to fight back. David could fight back, great warrior, but he has made up his mind. He draws a line. He will not raise his hand against the Lord's anointed, neither Saul nor the armies of Israel. He will not do it. So his men know that if it comes, push comes to shove, they're going to get slaughtered. So they have to escape. But they're surrounded. And the name of the place they were surrounded is this long Hebrew word, but it literally means a rock of divisions. And what it is communicating is, Saul's men were so close, they couldn't get access to him. Something about the terrain, they couldn't get direct access, but they were so close, they could see and hear each other. So David and his men are sitting there, Saul's army's all around him. They're looking at David like, we told you so, what are you going to do? And about that time, sometime in that time period, he prays the prayer of Psalm 54. And this is his heart. This is how he goes to his God. Save me, O God. This is his intercession. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. He had a true and vital spiritual relationship with God. These weren't just words. He knew he was talking to his heavenly Father and that his heavenly Father would deliver him. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. He was endeavoring to introduce spiritual power to effect the change. He didn't really clearly know how it was going to happen, less clearly maybe than we do now. But he knew God would interject spiritual power to effect the change as the armies of Israel around them. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. And whether he prayed this out in front of everyone, out loud or whatever, he knew, he was confident God would get them out when they were looking right at their destruction. And as they were sitting there, they watched the armies of Israel get up, turn around, and leave without ever drawing a sword. Word came to Saul that the Philistines had invaded the land. The enemy again shoots himself in the foot. We just live the word, live love, go to God, and do what's right. And the enemy generally always is his own undoing, and that's what happened in the situation. So while they're sitting there and they're watching, wondering what's going to happen, all of a sudden they can see each other, they can hear each other. Who knows what things were getting shouted across the rocks. All of a sudden they see Israel get up, turn around, and march away. And that's what God can do for us, because he is our loving Heavenly Father.
You see, he always intercedes for us and against the enemy. Really, Saul and his army was not the enemy. That's brothers. Those are children of Israel. All of Israel is God's anointed. Remember, the promise was to Jacob for the children of Israel. And here they are about to go into a civil war. Now, the importance of that is you still have to maintain a believer's line because you haven't gotten to Christ yet. So there has to be the believer's line. And if they go into battle with each other, you know what's going to fall? Believers. You know who's going to die? Believers. And you know what that could do? Disrupt the Christ line. And it looks like Gil so beautifully put it, there was no way out. There was no solution. They can't fly up. They're trapped on this thing. And Saul's on one side. And why they turned and why the Philistines invaded at that particular time, I don't know. But I know our God had a solution for that situation that was absolutely impossible for Saul. If Saul would have went in and endeavored to kill David, it would have been a horrible tragedy for the children of Israel, and if David and his men fought against Saul's troops, because they were believers with Saul. You know, some you've been in situations, the best to your knowledge, Saul's the king. I'm going to follow him. I saw Samuel anoint him. I saw Samuel say that he was the king and so forth. Nobody saw David. Remember, Samuel went and anointed him basically in private. So some of the guys heard about David and they believed that and went with David and some went with Saul. You know, I think there were still a lot of believers on both sides. They just didn't know, what the situation was because they didn't have the access to the spiritual understandings and so forth. And you would have had wonderful believers killing each other. And God extricated them from that situation. What a God. See, he always intervenes for us and against our true enemy, which is the evil spirit realm. Because, yes, we do know Saul had a spirit we read it, you know, we've read it in Samuel. But if you kill Saul, what does it do to the spirit? Nothing. Spirit just goes its merry way and gets somewhere else and somebody else. You know, that's why I say our intercession for our country, because it's not going to be done by any political party. Because they are going to go into office and the same spirits that control the guys who were ahead of them are going to work on them and beat them up until they knuckle under and listen to them. Unless someone with spiritual power enters into the match and sets off the spiritual power to affect the outcome, then it'll change. You know, I don't wish any of those men to be dead. You know, but I believe that we can effect the change right here in our fellowships by getting together and praying. Well, it's really something. How powerful and effective do you think intercession for us can be? My pocket's ringing. Shh, quiet pocket. Okay. Here you have brethren that would have killed each other, and a way opens up to retreat from the provocations. And actually, the intercession is for both sides. Beautiful. And against the spirit realm. So we have the opportunity, and we can call for the power of God to intercede. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 tells us, in verse 1. Now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I come present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk according to the flesh, we do not war after what?
The flesh.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The words pulling pulling down of strongholds, where is it? Pulling down of strongholds means demolishing fortresses. We can knock out spiritual fortresses. The power of God that we have is enough. It's powerful. It's effective enough to knock out fortresses. Why some guy just up and decides in the middle of the year to retire, I don't know. But I sometimes think maybe he needed to go. And that's part of where God can move. He just decides, hey, I'd rather go home and, you know, go fishing. And just decides to leave office. Somebody else who's a key factor in something else decides to do something else. Somebody else does something. This one does that. And the next thing you know it, a whole fortress has come, you know, a whole internetworking and nest of evil speaking and evil talking and evil imaginations all of a sudden just goes and it's gone. We ought to believe so that we can see it. Speaking in tongues has an effect. Speaking in tongues, indeed, in our prayer life, makes intercession for us and against the adversary. The reason people don't see it is because they don't believe it happens. But even then, that doesn't stop God from moving. That even then, that prayer is still made. If I've spoken in tongues, that prayer has been made. And even if I don't believe it, those words are perfect. And it's a perfect communication to God. God hears that prayer and it goes into action. So I might as well believe it and get the joy of seeing it take place. See? But we can demolish entire fortresses or groups with the purpose to effect an outcome. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about groanings that cannot be uttered. These are words that can surpass language and emotion, that exceed the eloquence of diction, and reach beyond the imagination and brilliance of metaphor. But out of the beloved one's innermost being goes words of the same essence as "let there be light." And when God spoke those words, "let there be light," there was absolutely nothing that could stop it. Once he uttered those words, there was no way it could have been stopped. And he spoke into existence all of the beginnings of healing and deliverance. When he spoke, "let there be light," the process of restoration began. Both healing and deliverance were spoken into existence, and they will not retreat. Power that affects an outcome, weapons that demolish fortresses. And it's in that very chapter that tells us, "nay, in all these things, we are what?" And then it gives us a list of things. Well, have we been oppressed? Yes. Have we had swords? Have we been persecuted and everything else? Yes. And in that same chapter where it talks about praying in the Spirit to make intercession for us according to the will of God, it tells us, "nay, in all these things we are what?"
More than conquerors.
How?
Through
him that loved us, by that power of God, that Spirit of God that is within us with the utterances we make. Those groanings that cannot be uttered, words that cannot be expressed, metaphor that cannot be put together. It is exactly perfect. That which we cannot do through our five senses, our carnal minds and our carnal tongues don't even have the language to even express it. That Spirit of God works in us. And when we start to speak in tongues and we're praying for these things, it is power that's set forth that can demolish fortresses. See? And God that searches the heart. Well, when he searches the heart, what does he see? Well, he sees ones that love the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees ones that love his word. He sees ones that love him and his brethren, his neighbors as himself, and even loves his enemies. It makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Every bit of it is according to the will of God. Now I want to go to 1 John chapter 5. This is why I am absolutely convinced that we have a solution to life situations, all things that pertain to life and godliness. I believe that we have the absolute solution. In this chapter, where it tells us that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In this chapter where it tells us that God is love, and that he first loved us, and we know and believe the love God has for us. In this epistle, I keep saying chapter, I meant this epistle, comes this great section in 1 John chapter 5. In verse 14, "and this is the confidence that we have in him," meaning God, "that if we ask anything according to his will," he what? When we speak in tongues, it makes intercession for us according to what? Every time we have spoken in tongues and uttered that a prayer in the Spirit, He has heard it because it's according to the will of God. And it tells us here that if we ask anything according to His will, how can you miss? If you're praying in the Spirit, how in the world could you possibly miss His will? Because it only utters that which is according to His will. Then He had to have heard us. And if He hears us, and we know, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, because it is according to His will, and when I spoke in tongues, I uttered words that are according to His will, and He's for us and He's against our spiritual enemy, we know that whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I can't think of a more perfect way for us to handle these situations, because whatever it is I'm saying in tongues, in my prayer, in tongues, is according to His will, and it's interceding for us. And He hears everything that is according to His will, so He had to have heard it. And if He heard it, it says we know we have the petition we have asked. There, I can't think of a better way for us to enter into this, because it's foolproof. I could pray for things in English that would be not according to His will. I've done that before. I have asked for things that were not according to His will. But every time that Spirit works with my infirmity, because I don't know what to ask for as I ought, I don't know what to ask that's according to His will, but that Spirit does, and the words it utters is exactly according to His will. He hears it, and then its power is released to effect an outcome. And it is always for me and against our enemy. See, it's not for me and against this party or against that party. It is for me and against our adversary. You know, Saul was a little bit mixed up concerning David because of the influences in his life. He was being victimized. We know that. You know, we can look at it now. We've taken the veil off. We can look back to the Old Testament and see he was victimized. He was just some guy, nice kid, out looking for his father's asses that had gotten lost, and meets up with Samuel, and the people want him to be king because he's taller than everybody else. Oh, great qualification, you know. And he no more wanted to be the king, but, you know, he just went along with it. And then he winds up getting victimized, and he's on one side of the hill because he's victimized, and he perceives that David, or the spirits in him, make him perceive that David is his enemy. David is on the other side thinking, I got to protect myself and these people from Saul. How in the heck are we going to do this? God interceded for both of them. What sin would have been laid upon Saul had he had killed David? And on the other hand, what sin David would have had he killed Saul? But God knew there's a victimization here, and neither one of these guys are the enemy. The enemy's different. The enemy's someplace else, and He interceded and extricated them from that situation. I believe He can extricate us from the situations that we find ourselves confronted, especially against our fellow citizens, our brothers and sisters who are Christian, whether by accident, whether by just confession, or whether they're huias, or some of them are endeared and just mixed up. But He will extricate us from a situation that would be a worse disaster than if we just went in and battled it out. And even if we won, we'd lose. So I think we have something great to offer our nation, our communities, and really the nations of the world in protecting our brethren, and even protecting our enemies. So that's what I wanted to conclude with. I kept you over 10 minutes. I'll give it back to you next time we meet. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity for us to be together and have the opportunity to fellowship one with another, enjoy the blessings of your word. Father, to enjoy how much you love us and how your heart thrills when we get together and we talk about your words and understand truths and see truths from your word and enjoy such great blessings, and that we are a wonderful brotherhood and that you're not ashamed of us, Father. You are thrilled with us. Thank you so much for your kindness and love to us through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Amen.